My presentation is a little bit different than the other ones. I am with the North Carolina Institute of Medicine, and we're modeled after the national academies. And so we don't do primary research, but gather together stakeholders. And so I'll show you a little bit more about that. I do not have any financial disclosures to make. So the North Carolina Institute of Medicine was chartered by the North Carolina General Assembly, that's our legislature, to address health problems in the state and to look at them and bring together stakeholders around an issue to make sure that we can make change in North Carolina, have the stakeholders involved in the original planning to be able to make the changes that we recommend. So North Carolina, the previous speaker was talking a lot about rural veterans, and North Carolina is a mainly rural state. We do have some urban locations, but the majority of our veterans, nationally, about half of veterans are in rural areas, and in our state about a little bit more than that. So the study that I'm referring to was published back in January, and some things have changed since then. So when we published the study originally, North Carolina was fourth in military population in the country, and with some base closings and some returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan and other locations, North Carolina now has the third largest military population in the country and the largest army installation in the world. We have 800,000 veterans in the state, lots of surviving spouses, and 35% of the state's population is connected to the military. My father served in the military in this group that we'll talk about a little bit. Everyone in the room was connected in some way, a spouse, a child, a daughter, a son. Lots of people in the state are connected. And so that map, although you can't really see it, the pointer of the colors, these are the military installations in North Carolina. The red are the Marine Corps, the blue, the Air Force, the green is the Army. That turquoise at the top is the North Carolina National Guard, and then the white are the Coast Guard. So every armed services branch is represented in North Carolina, along with the National Guard and the reserves. So the reason that we took on this study, the General Assembly asked us to study the adequacy of services for military members, and I'll term those as reserve, active, everybody. I use that as an inclusive term. Military members and their family around behavioral health services. So we're talking about our state agency is mental health, developmental disabilities and substance abuse services, the division. Those services that are funded with Medicaid funds and that are available to the military writ large with everyone included, and determine any gaps in what we can do in North Carolina to better serve our military families. So our task force was co-chaired by three veterans. Representative Greer served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Senator Purcell served slightly after the Korean War. And Deputy Secretary Watson is a Vietnam War veteran. Our task force members represented lots of areas in the community, representatives from the active duty, all four branches, from the reserves, the National Guard, behavioral health providers. We're in Veterans Integrated Service Network 6. Our VA in North Carolina, legislators, community members, the faith community. We tried to bring together lots of different perspectives around behavioral health for the military. And so the idea is modeled after the National Academies to bring those stakeholders together to be able to address problems. So we looked at just what does our population look like in North Carolina around the military, behavioral health needs. That list also includes military sexual trauma and traumatic brain injury. Military health and behavioral health services, just to help everyone understand a little bit more about VA services, about services that are available through TRICARE, understanding what kind of providers are in which systems, service availability in our public system, and our behavioral health workforce. Who are the behavioral health providers that we have in North Carolina? How many of those are participating in TRICARE? How many of those are in active duty? How many of those are providing public service? And so after hearing from these state, local, and national experts, the task force made recommendations about what we can do in North Carolina to ensure these services are available for our military families. And there were 13 recommendations. When we make recommendations, we try and take into account the political environment, funding, all of that. And so four of those were named as priority recommendations that we think if you're going to do anything, these are the ones that need some work. And so expanding the availability of counseling and treatment services for individuals, we'll talk a little bit more about what's happened with these in just a moment. Providing training on military culture, and military health systems through active duty reserves and what's available in the public system for health professionals and hospital administrators. Improving the transition between systems. I think we've heard several times about the problems between operating in different systems. In an earlier session, we were talking about veteran homelessness and how there's so many systems that don't actually talk to each other. And so one of our priorities was to be able to help people that are going to transition through different systems understand what services are available to them and to be able to get the services that they need. And then training for public workers and crisis workers, veteran service organizations, about benefits that are available to veterans and active duty and their family, about military culture for those that are not affiliated with the military, and making sure that we increase the number of providers that are culturally competent in military culture to be able to provide services for our families. We also included public school systems because many of our reserve members and National Guard members, including active duty, have children that attend schools off of bases, and so they're not as familiar with our military systems and the faith community. So this picture is what happened as a result of our work. These are National Guard members in the background, our Governor Beverly Perdue at the front. The gentleman in the gray suit was one of the co-chairs of our task force. In our House of Representatives, Representative Martin, and the representative here on the right. So when we made these recommendations and then brought them back to the legislature, Senator Purcell, who was one of our co-chairs, presented a bill that included lots of the recommendations from our task force to the legislature, which was unanimously passed, which is good work for what's going on in North Carolina. We've got a very interesting dynamic between the two parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party in the state. But this was passed unanimously by every member in the Senate and then passed on to the House, where it was passed unanimously as well. And those two in the picture, in addition to the governor, represent both political parties, which is an important thing, I think, to share, that we had buy-in on every level. And so the governor signed into law the Senate version was proposed in April, and by June, the law, it was passed in the Senate, in the House, and then signed by the governor into law. And so it's an act to ensure that the behavioral health needs of the members of the military, veterans, and their family are met. And so those four priority areas that we talked about were included in the law, as well as talking about co-locating resources in locations, the National Guard Family Assistance Centers that are available across the country, but being able to use those to provide more access to more families. A gap analysis of services on traumatic brain injury. We needed to learn more about that, what's available in the VA system and our public systems, and then designating local education area representatives so that each school system has someone who's familiar with military culture that can help provide some services or some outreach to our military families that are in those local communities, and then also collecting data on the children that are connected to military families so that we have that data at the state level to be able to work more in those settings. So North Carolina National Guard Family Assistance Centers, there are three different types. They receive funding in lots of different ways, but there are 14 centers across the state. And normally these are designated for National Guard members to be able to come and receive services. They can have meetings and bring in community members. And so part of the legislation said that organizations that provide services to the military or that can provide services to the military or veterans should be located when feasible inside these family assistance centers. There are some that receive federal funding, some that have state funding, and some that have local funding. Some are in armories, some are in storefront kind of places, some are in freestanding buildings. And so there's lots of different levels of access, but these programs are now available to anyone who served in the military, is currently serving, or a family member. And so there are lots of different programs that are being co-located right now to make sure that people have access to services, can learn more about the benefits that are available to them. And this is one of the programs we're really proud of. So those blocks, although you can't read the map, those are family assistance centers across the state of North Carolina. The governor's focus on service members, veterans, and their families had been meeting for about 3 years before our task force started its work. But as the North Carolina Institute of Medicine, usually once we study a subject, we use the report and then expect the stakeholders to sort of take on the responsibility of making the recommendations happen. We just create the policy. But in this instance, the governor's focus is continuing the work that's been going on, not just around behavioral health, but around service members and veterans, from education to homelessness, behavioral health, and lots of different service areas. So we meet monthly and can talk about what's going on across the state, what new opportunities are available, how we can share resources and connect. I can get an email about a service member that has a need, and someone responds and things happen that way, from being able to connect all these different systems and have them meet regularly in one place. So that's just a great resource that we've been funded through some SAMHSA services, some SAMHSA grants, and have participated in some national meetings about the work and integrative work that's going on in the governor's focus. And through the report, one of the recommendations was to be able to continue that work and, when possible, to have funding included. Side note, when the law was passed, the recommendations have funding included in some of the recommendations to expand the National Guard Family Assistance Centers and some other funding priorities. There wasn't any funding attached to the legislation, which is unfortunate, but in our economic environment, there is not funding right now. But that it's written into law, some things are actually happening that we're excited about. So highlighting implementation efforts. So those four priority areas that we talked about as priority recommendations, there's a lot of work going on. The North Carolina Area Health Education Centers have created trainings on military culture for lots of different types of providers. So now there's a new training for optometrists and optical specialists to be able to recognize signs and symptoms of TBI, to be able to recognize those symptoms and then be able to make referrals so that people can be evaluated for those TBI. And our North Carolina AHEC has received some SAMHSA funding to be able to help distribute these trainings that are available for lots of different types of providers, primary care providers, specialists, some on military culture. There are lots of different trainings that are available. And so now North Carolina is working with other states to be able to provide this training to their behavioral health and other health providers. Our North Carolina Department of Public Instruction is working with the Military Child Education Coalition to help distribute some of these AHEC trainings on military culture to school systems to make sure that those children that are associated with the military that are in public school systems have someone there to support that can understand a little bit more about what they're going, if they have a parent that's deployed. I know we're talking specifically about veterans in this one, but making sure when I say military, I'm talking about military all the way. Active duty, reserve, National Guard, or veteran status. And then our state division of mental health, developmental disabilities, and substance abuse services is working on a gap analysis around TBI services and is working to partner with the VA to understand what services are available for TBI and for long-term treatment, short-term treatment, day programs. And so they're trying to make sure that the services that our veterans need when they return will be available so that we can make sure those services are available. And also training crisis workers who are employed by the division, law enforcement and other agencies to be able to understand when a veteran is in crisis, there are some unique situations that may apply to that veteran so that you're not approaching this person thinking without some understanding of military culture to be able to understand some other ways and to be able to help the veteran. So that was quick. This will be available online. We have a project page that focuses on the report. In the back, if you're interested, I have a short 4-page version of the report that talks a little bit more about the process and those recommendations. The North Carolina Institute of Medicine also publishes the North Carolina Medical Journal, where we have an issue solely dedicated to behavioral health in the military with an article about the report, but also some other things that are going on in North Carolina for the military. And then if you are a trooper, the full report is also available back there, but these are links to all of those, including the state law, if you're interested in using something like that in your state. Thank you very much.